Pop Wonders!
Can you eat a nettle? What food comes from the sea? Do potatoes like seaweed? Does honey come from bees? Ever wonder what to grow? Ever wonder what to sow? Let's get in the know. Let's find some pop wonders. Hello and welcome to Pot Wonders, where we have all the answers to the food questions you've been wondering about. I'm Muireann, and I'm excited to head out and about to answer your questions. But first, to find out what you're wondering about today, let's check in with our roving reporter, Moses Murphy.
You're listening to Pot Wonders, where we wonder about all things food, from sowing it on your plot to cooking it in a pot. Hi, I'm Moses Murphy. I like banana, potato and mango. And I'm Pot Wonders roving reporter, and I'm hungry for answers. Answers to the questions you've always been wondering about.
What food can we eat in summer?
Soft fruits and berries are in season in summer, so let's head to Paddy's Patch to hear what tips he has for summer growing and what fruits he has ready for picking.
Paddy's Patch!
Hello, my name is Paddy and I like to grow my own fruit and vegetables along with flowers and herbs here on my little allotment in Malahide beside the sea. Summertime I plant carrots, broccoli, beetroot and peas. What to harvest? Peas and beans and potatoes. The things I need to do around the plot to maintain it. Keep picking up the weeds and remember to water all the plants and to feed them nettle tea. And nettle tea is very easy to make. You can cover the fruit trees and the strawberries with nets to stop the birds eating your food before you do. And you can earth up the potatoes. So when you see the shoots growing nice and tall, you need to cover them up with more compost and soil. And the more you do that, the more spuds you'll get. We're here now on Paddy's Patch. And I have a little job for you to do, but there's a reward in it for you. I'm going to give you a cup each and we're going to pick some raspberries.
Yay!
You like them?
Yeah.
Let's do it, okay?
Let's go.
Okay, so here's a cup each. Mm-hmm. Okay, so over here, this is where the raspberry bushes are, but these are called raspberry canes because, as you can see, they grow tall like a cane. And here are the fruits here.
Cool.
And I'll show you a really simple way of picking raspberries. You don't have to squash them, so really gently press them together and they pop off like that. Now that wasn't the sound of the raspberry, I made that myself. So Freya, you try it with this one here. So gently squeeze both sides of it and just pop it off.
I'm gonna squeeze and pull.
Perfect.
I'm gonna get this little one.
Because then if you squeeze it too much, it's gonna be squashed and nobody wants squashed raspberries, do they?
No.
Wait,
well, you could make raspberry jam.
Oh, you can. And what else can you make from raspberries? I
jam?
Like jam, yeah. And I like raspberry smoothies in the morning. So during the summertime, there's so many during the summertime that there's too much for me to eat all on my own. So I just freeze them. I put them into the freezer and then each morning I take a handful and I put them into a smoothie and they are delicious.
Yummy.
Okay, girls, how are you getting on?
Most of them.
So you can see they're hiding under these leaves here. So you lift up the leaves. Like the birds aren't as clever as us. They still manage to sit on the branches here of all the of the canes. And they like to eat the raspberries. I don't mind that as long as they don't eat all of them.
All of them.
So I tried to say, dear birds and pigeons, could
keep
you just... Exactly. Could you just hang on? That patch is for you over there.
Yeah.
And then I realised pigeons don't speak English, so they don't understand me. How are you getting on over there, Freya?
I'm getting on great over here.
Good girl. Okay, guys, bring over your pots of raspberries. We're going to do a taste test here.
Okay.
So if you sit here.
Yeah.
Okay, what we need to do is there's some picking done. Now we need to do some
eating.
Okay.
Wait, will I pick a big one?
Yeah, you can pick everyone you want.
Oh my god, they're so juicy.
I've
never tried a raspberry before.
So this is your first time ever eating a raspberry?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go Freya first of all. One, two, three, go.
It's so nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
She can hardly talk. That was such a big raspberry.
Yeah.
Okay, Addison, can you taste your raspberry?
Yeah, I'm going for a smaller one then. They're very sweet and they're very nice.
It's like a sweet and a sour mixed together.
Sweet and sour together.
Okay.
But they're very like juicy, so it's easy to juice. The juice can come out very easily.
Okay, I'm going to eat mine. Oh, it is. I'm getting tangy. I'm getting a little bit sour. And finish it off with some lovely sweetness. It's like free sweets that grow in Paddy's patch.
Wow.
Fresh raspberries are so tasty, and it's given me an idea for a fun summer drink you can make at home. Time for today's recipe. Today's recipe is raspberry, lemon and mint slushies. I've crushed up some ice in the food processor and I have it ready, and I mashed in some raspberries, and now it's time for Lola and Kayla to put together their mint and raspberry drinks. What do you think is in the glasses there in front of you?
Is that lemon?
That's lemon juice. Yeah, take a smell. Well, it's just a little bit of lemon juice.
Yeah. Oh, I smelled a tiny bit.
Can I have a smell of the slushy raspberry? So it's just ice and raspberry blended in the food processor.
I've smelled that before.
It smells nice, doesn't it? So what we're going to do is we're going to put ice and raspberry, the slushy, into the glass with the lemon. We're going to stir that. We're going to add a little bit of sparkling water, and then we're going to put some mint in just to mix it around. Okay, so we do that, and we have a little bit of honey to sweeten it if you think you need it, but you can taste it first and see if you need the honey or not. Okay, so do you want to hold your glass there for me, Lola, and I'll pour some of this in? Do you want to pour some sparkling water in?
Okay.
Each, so this is just, whoa, it's fizzy. So maybe pop in just like the same amount again into your glass. So I've quarter filled the glass.
Oh, it looks like, I don't know, fizzy pink drink?
Yeah.
It's okay. Looking a bit like more red or something now.
It's kind of frothing up, isn't it? Are you ready for a taste?
Yeah, I think I am.
Now, if you want to add honey, you can. But if you think it's sweet enough. Okay, what do you think, Lola? Go for it.
I think I could use honey.
You want some honey? It's a little bit bitter because lemon and raspberry are quite bitter. So I think it needs a little honey. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use Lola's spoon. This is natural bee honey from beehives in Waterford. Honey's very sticky, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, would you like to try this at home, do you think?
Probably.
So, like, it's just a really easy thing. You just get some fresh berries, some ice. Ask a grown-up to blend it for you in a food processor. Or you can bash it in a bag with a rolling pin if you don't have a food processor. Add a little bit of honey and some fresh mint. All your friends will think you're amazing. You're making your own slushies at home. Well, thanks a million taste buds for... Oh, they're too busy drinking to say bye to me. I'm going to leave you finish your drinks, and thanks for helping me with today's recipe.
You are welcome.
Time to check in with the science buds to find out more.
Okay, so today on Pot Wonders, we are talking about all things to do with summer. Now, one of the things I like most about summer is when you get to eat a special kind of food, it's cold and it's yummy. And can anybody guess what it is?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Do you like ice cream?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like ice cream?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So I thought, let's have a little bit of fun with the science of making ice cream. What do you think?
Yeah.
Good idea? Yeah, I thought you'd agree. Okay, so to make ice cream, we have to make things kind of cold, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, and the fridge just isn't cold enough.
No.
Sometimes people use the freezer, but that can make things freeze into big blocks, okay? So we're going to try and make ice cream in bags. With just ice, okay? First, we're going to investigate how best to make the ice nice and cold, okay? So I'm going to prepare two bags. In the first one, we are going to put ice. Lots and lots of ice, okay? So Rowan, will you hold that bag open?
Yes.
There's a good bit of ice in that one. And then we can just zip it closed. And I'm going to put this down for a minute. We're going to prepare a second bag, okay? Sophia, will you hold that open, please?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to add ice into this one again. So that one has the same amount of ice, but we're going to do something different. So in this second bag, Fia, I'm going to add a big load of salt into the ice, okay? So this is about half a cup of salt we're adding to 4 cups of ice, okay? And now we'll zip this bag up and I'll give it a good wiggle. They're noisy ice bags, aren't they? Okay, so we'll start now. So, Rowan, I want you to touch each of the bags and tell me, are they both the same or is one colder?
That one's colder.
That one's colder. And what did that one have?
Salt.
Salt and ice. Okay, Fia, you touch each bag and tell me, is one colder?
Yeah.
Yeah? And which one is it?
It's the one with the salt.
The one with the salt. So it seems that we were able to make this much colder just by adding salt to the ice. Did you know that could happen?
No.
No? Okay. So what happens is when we add the salt to the ice, some of the ice melts and the salt mixes with it. And then that salty melted ice needs to go a lot colder for it to freeze again. Okay, so I'm going to put our bag of ice and salt to the side for a minute and we shall prepare a little mini bag to make our ice cream in. Okay, so we have a small bag here and what we're going to do is I'm going to add some cream. I'm measuring out about half a cup of this lovely cream and we're going to pour it into the bag, Fia, won't we? It's always nice when we make our ice cream a little bit sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to add some sugar. A little bit less than a tablespoon of sugar, okay? And we're going to add one more thing to make our ice cream taste extra nice. I love vanilla ice cream, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have a favourite flavour, Fia?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay, do you have a favourite flavoured ice cream?
Oreo.
Oreo, okay. How about we make this one vanilla. Will you hold the bag open? We will add about a half teaspoon of vanilla essence in there, okay? So now we're going to zip the bag closed and then we're going to pop it in to our ice bag. Now, which bag do you think would be the best to use to make ice cream? Do you think the one with just ice or the one with ice and salt?
The one with ice and salt.
Ice and salt. Well, you sound very convincing, the two of you.
Because it's colder than the other one.
Exactly. So we're going to pop that in there and we're going to move the ice around it. And then we're going to have to shake and wiggle it around a little bit. So just like this. Okay, so we have been shaking and jiggling for quite a while. Will we check it and see how it's doing now?
Yeah.
Anybody getting hungry? Let's see. So we'll open up the cloth. So this is our little bag. It started out as cream. How does it feel now?
It feels like...
Feels kind of hard and squishy now, doesn't it? What does it look like, Fia?
Looks like ice cream.
Looks like ice cream. And how does it taste?
Delicious.
Delicious. Oh, well, I have to get a spoon now too. Ooh, look at that big spoon of ice cream. Oh, that may be the best vanilla ice cream I ever tasted. But yeah, I think you better dig in your spoon quick before Rowan has it all eaten. So there's a little bit of a science trick on how to make ice cream.
Yeah, that's science.
I feel a wonder bubbling in the pot. Time to check in with Moses to see what other pot wonders you have today.
Why do we chew our food?
Good question. And food expert Dermot Lavelle has the answer.
Our bodies are meant to take in very liquid food, and you need to chew your food is up to 40 times a mouthful. Now, you may think that's quite a lot, but in actual fact, that's only 30 seconds chewing per mouthful. But what does this do? This makes the food very, very small, and then when you swallow it down into your stomach, it can absorb all the stomach juices. And also, when you chew your food like that, it stays longer in your stomach, so you're fuller for longer. Now, human beings, if you look at them, they have cheeks, just like horses and cows have. And cheeks are there to hold the food in the mouth so we can chew them. Not only that, but if you look at teeth in our heads, we have large molar teeth at the back, and we have incisors at the front there, the front teeth. And just at the sides, we have canine teeth. They're the ones with a little bit of a point in the end. Incisor teeth are for biting off food. And the back molars, they're for chewing food. kind of like a horse or a cow. Cows chew the food all day long and they swallow it into a stomach and then they have to bring it back up and chew it again. So they chew their food because their food is very coarse. It's plant food, it's grass. We can't really eat grass, we don't have the molars. And also, but we do have to chew our food. The other thing that we have is if you look at our canine teeth, if you look at the front four teeth in your mouth and just beside those teeth are teeth that have a little bit of a point on them, they're canine teeth, and they're for biting off meat. Now, if you look at a dog or a wolf or a lion, they don't have any cheeks at all. So they don't really chew their food, okay? They just bite off big chunks, swallow it down, and they rest all day. In fact, a lion will only move around for about 4 hours a day, and the rest of the time he rests. But we're not really like a lion or a wolf. We don't eat one big meal and then lie around all day. We're in the middle. So we're supposed to chew our food, even though we've canine teeth. We're called omnivores, and omnivores eat plants and fruit and vegetables, and they eat meat. So that's where we are. But we need to chew our food. See if you can chew your food up to 40 times a mouthful. Now, it won't be easy at the start, but if you could double the rate of your chewing, so you're chewing twice as much, then you will find that your body feels much better and you have more energy and it feels lighter. So here's a challenge. Take up the choo-choo training. So what I want you to do is chew and chew and chew and chew and get used to that, because you'll get more satisfaction out of your food and you'll taste it better. Now, there's a couple of things in choo-choo training that are good to kind of know and remember. First of all, if you run to the table really fast and start to eat your food fast, you're probably not going to do your chewing, because you're probably going to swallow your food faster than you normally would. So the best thing to do is, just before you sit down, is slow down your body movements. Sit down, relax, look at your food and all the colors. Take a nice big sniff of your food. The aromas of your food and the smells. And then begin to take off the first forkful or the bite of your sandwich, and then think of the tastes and textures of your food as you chew and chew. Put down your hand onto your plate or your fork on the plate. Relax your body and chew and chew and chew. And do it in slow motion. And that will be a great help to your choo-choo training. And you'll get better and better and better. It's very good for your health and your energy.
What did our ancestors eat in summer? Here's the history bit with food historian Dr. Regina Sexton.
Long, long ago,
the summer is important in Ireland for collecting things like flowers, and at the end of the summer, thinking about berries and things like that. It's not so much there's a lot of feasting, but it's a very important time for certain foods. And we were talking about how important potatoes were in Ireland, but possibly what's the most important food in Ireland is the food that comes from cattle, so meat and milk. And cattle are really important in Ireland for thousands and thousands of years, because what cattle love as well is they love feeding on different grasses and free ranging. And because of the climate in Ireland, the grass grows really well nearly all the year round. And the most important time for cattle in Ireland is the summer. And if you think about the year and the festivals, Ireland had two big festivals that were the festivals of the Celts. And one of them was May Day, Bealtaine, that's the start of summer. And the other one was Halloween, okay, Samhain. But May Day was the start of the summer. And that was the time when the farmers would start milking the cows, and the cows were giving an awful lot of milk at this point in time because they had just calved. So the summer was the time when farmers had to make use of the milk in all different sorts of ways. So they could drink milk, or else they could make it into cheeses. So the cheese separates into curds and whey, and they're eating loads of curds with things like honey or wild garlic. And then what happens is, if you collect all your curds and you kind of squash them and you get all the liquid out, the whey liquid out of them, you can make them sort of smooth, and that's a soft cheese. And then if you keep pressing that, and if you keep that soft cheese, it'll eventually turn into hard cheese. And that's what they're doing in the summer. So they're making all of these things that they can eat during the summer, or they're also making things that they can keep after the summer so that they can eat these things in autumn and winter. So in Ireland, the summer months are the times when they're eating all the milky foods, and they call them white foods, bon bia. So what they did maybe was they first of all went hunting, and there is lots of wild animals in prehistory in Ireland that they hunted. And the two big things they liked to hunt were wild red deer and wild boar. So that might be the fia part of the name, the deer, the fia. And fluch the fia means maybe a boiling place for wild deer. Maybe. That's because it's from two Irish words. There are thousands and thousands of fluch the fias in Ireland. And they're extremely old places for cooking, where people cooked outside on the landscape, kind of like a prehistoric barbecue. And they're from the Bronze Age, which was 2000 years BC. That's nearly 4000 years ago. And they're not kind of cooking places anymore. But what they look like, if you were in a, maybe up over in the air, if you were in a drone or a plane, maybe you're looking down and you saw something that looked like the shape of a horseshoe, that might be a fluch the fia, one of these Bronze Age cooking places. And what they needed for these cooking places, three things. You needed water, maybe like a stream. And then what you also needed was stone. You needed a lot of stones for the fire. And then the other thing you needed was to dig a pit or a trough. And of course, the other thing you needed was something to cook in it. So it could have been that these warriors, you know, like the ones we hear about, like Fionn Mac Cuaill and the Fianna and all of that, that they spent a lot of their time hunting and going around the landscape, being warriors. And maybe they had these kind of communal gatherings where lots of people gathered together after the hunt and they had to cook them all. Because you see, the thing about hunting animals like that is that you have to hunt them, but you have to butcher them. And then what happens is, you see, if you don't have a lot of salt to preserve them, you might have to eat them fairly quickly, or because there's no refrigeration now at this point in time. So the meat would go off. So you would have to kind of eat it within maybe a few days after hunting it. And from that kind of idea, maybe you got this idea of a feast where you needed a lot of people to share and to eat the meat that you hunted. But first of all, you had to cook it. And they might line the pit. It's like a big rectangular square in the ground. But they might line it with wood, planks of wood, or maybe stones, flat stones. And then they would fill the trough with water from maybe the stream. And then beside that, what they would build is this big fire called a pyre, where they would burn stone. So they lit a fire to heat the stones. And that's like a big standing structure of stone, and they become really, really hot. And what they have to do then is they have to topple the stone from the fires, the pyre, and they have to topple it into the trough of water. And it's amazing because if you see the fluch the fias in action, the sound that the stones make, the really, really boiling stones, they're, you know, they're really so hot and they meet the cold water, and there's an incredible sound when the two of these things come together, and the stones, in many cases, shatter. They'll just all break up. So what they would have to do is they'd have to clear then the stone out of the water, and they put it up around the trough, and all of those stones over and over again, stones in the cooking form a horseshoe shape. So that's what you see today in the fields. And then what they can do is, it's quite amazing really, if you have the stones from the fire that are really, really very hot, they will boil the water fairly quickly for you. It's amazing. And then in that boiling water, they can put their pieces of meat, again, maybe covered in straw or cloth or something like that, just to protect it from the, you know, the shattered stone and things like that. And it will boil. And these were the fluch the fias in Ireland.
Feeling nosy? Well, hold on to your snouts, because it's time for the Guess the Smell quiz.
Hi, we're the Taste Buds.
We all love tasting things here on Pot Wonders, but also we like to smell things because we know that smell is very much involved in tasting things. Did you know that? taste buds here in the studio with me. Did you know that you can, when you smell something, that you taste, you're tasting the food with your nose?
No, not really.
I'm going to give you a couple of things to try now. But you're not going to taste them with your mouth. You're going to taste them with your nose. You're going to smell them. It's the Pot Wonders Guess the Smell quiz. So, I'm going to put items in front of you. You're going to have your eyes closed and your nose open. And you're going to guess what the item is. Then I'm going to let you open your eyes and see if you can get more clues from looking at the thing that you see. But your first guess is with your eyes closed. And your second guess is with your eyes open. I'm going to let Kayla smell first. So, big sniff. A big sniff.
I know that smell.
I know that smell.
I know that. I think you will know this. This is something that's used a lot in Asian
food. Oh, I know. I think I know what it is.
Kayla, what is it?
Vinegar or something?
No. Something like that.
Can we see it now?
You can see it and you can smell it again. But Kayla, I think you're very
close. Oh, soy sauce.
Yes. Soy sauce at the last moment taken by Lola. Very good. Now it's time for the next one. Okay, so let's get started. Eyes closed. No peeking. Here's item number one. I'm going to put it under your nose and you can take a big sniff and have a think about what you think it might be. I'm going to go to Lola first. Take a sniff. Kayla, take a big sniff. Would you like another smell?
Yes, please.
Okay, Lola's going for another smell. What about you, Kayla?
I'm okay.
Okay. So, they've both had a smell. Their eyes are closed. Do you want to guess what it is, Lola?
Sea salt something?
Sea salt? Okay. What do you think, Kayla?
I kind of agree with Lola because it kind of felt like fishy.
Yeah.
Really? That's very interesting. Okay. Now, I want you to open your eyes. Okay? This is what you smelled. So you can take it out with your hands, describe it, and smell it again.
I think it's,
Do you onion. Know what that is?
Kind of onion?
It's not an onion, but it smells a little like an onion. Take a sniff. Oh, Kayla doesn't like that smell.
I do not like that.
What do you think, Lola? Oh, you don't like it either. It's quite strong.
Yeah. It's not the nicest thing to smell either.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
It's a really hard question.
What's like an onion but not an onion?
I know someone in our class brought a like something that looked exactly like that in school. It looked like a small onion.
Yeah, a small onion, white with kind of like tissue paper stuff on the outside, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a bulb. The answer to the question is garlic. That's garlic. That's what garlic looks like before you chop it up and put it in your food. Thanks a million, taste buds. See you again. Today we were talking all about summer foods. So, lace your fingers together under your chin. Picture in your mind summertime and what summer is like where you live. The days might be longer and brighter. The sun might shine more often and days might be warm. Picture the sun up in the sky shining brightly. Now, take a deep breath and lift your elbows up towards your face. Breathe out and lift your head up a little and whisper, ha, up towards the sun, like you were breathing fire from your mouth. Lower your elbows at the same time. Let's try it again. Lace your fingers under your chin. Now take a deep breath, lift your elbows up to your face and breathe out. And lift your head up to the sun and whisper, ha, from your mouth like you're breathing fire while lifting your elbows at the same time. Don't worry if you haven't got it all right. Just concentrate on the ha. Let out all that hot summer air. This can help you when you might be feeling nervous or tired or when you need to wake yourself up. And now we are ready to eat. Bon appetit! That's all the pot wonders we have for today. Whew, all this talk of food is making me peckish, so I'm off to see what's in the pot for lunch. Catch you next time for more Pot Wonders. This series was made with the support of BAI Sound and Vision Funding.